So we've been looking at who is a Christian. We've been looking at who is a Christian for some Sundays now. And we've looked at several aspects of what it means to be Christian. I'm not going to run through all that, but today we're looking at a Christian is one who is clothed with the armor of God. A Christian is one who is clothed with the armor of God. So my question is, why would we need an armor? Now in this service, you can talk back. Sonia, sorry? To protect us, yeah. So you wear something to protect. Is there any other reason why we need an armor or a protective suit? To be in command, okay? Sorry, Laura. Because we're in a battle. If you find yourself in space, would you need an armor? You need a spacesuit. And what would that do for you? Protect you. I like that. Yeah, it's to protect you from dying. But it also helps you to function in an environment that is foreign to you. Because in space, there is no gravity. We're used to gravity on the Earth, isn't it? So, but the moment you get into another dimension, you need something that will keep you from floating away. So yes, it helps you to navigate a terrain or a landscape that is not natural to you. Just like when you go scuba diving. So we need an armor or a protective suit for different things, but primarily for war, for battle. Next slide, please. Okay. Now, if we say we need something to protect us from what? Sorry? Temptation, yes. Anything else? Evil, yes. You probably guessed from the pictures. Evil, yes. Okay, so which is it? There are two extremes, isn't it? On the one side, it's see no evil, hear no evil. It doesn't exist. No, not at all. There's one paradigm like that. There's an extreme like that. There's another extreme where you're throwing salt, you're wearing a cross, you see sunlight, you know, touch wood. Everything is evil. So which one is it? Is it see no evil, hear no evil? Is it, sorry? So you don't believe evil exists at all? So you'd rather not see or hear? And some people believe, you know, if I go out and I kick a stone, better go back in, it might just be a bad day. And there's evil in everything. Okay, we're going to watch a clip that might help us try to unpack this a bit more. Okay. Right, so back to the slide. Slide 2. First, thank you. Which one is it? Everybody's like, well, sorry, a trick question. Potentially everywhere. That's a philosopher's way of it. Potentially everywhere, potentially not. To be or not to be. So, what do we do? How do we understand this? In fact, when I was thinking about it, I was like, what exactly is the answer? And I have this image. It might be helpful. Imagine your house. Okay? Are there areas where there's light in your house? Are there areas where there's no light in your house? But it's still in the same house. Isn't it? There are some cupboards that have no light. It's all dark. But it's still in the house. And there are areas where the blinds are drawn and there's lovely light shining through. And it's all lit up. I think that's a picture of the world. So, it's not a case that there's no evil at all. But it's also a case that everything is evil. Because the light shines in darkness. And the darkness cannot comprehend it. And when God, in Genesis chapter 1, started with creating the earth, the very first thing he said was, let there be. And there was what? And what happened? It took the light and it took the darkness. The light he called day, the darkness he called night. But there was no sun, there was no moon, there was no stars. So what light is this? What darkness is this? Okay. Let's keep it going easy. So let's look at the scripture. Let's look at scripture. Next slide, please. If you have a Bible around you, if you need a Bible, or you can check your Bible app, Ephesians chapter 6. If you can see the screen, that's fine. Oh, thanks, Laura. Servant-hearted. So if you need a Bible, just let Laura know and then so we're looking at Ephesians chapter 6, where the armor of God is mentioned. Ephesians chapter 6. I don't know what page number that will be here. Let me see. 1177. Fast track. 1177. 1177. 1177. Do we all have reference to a Bible? Because I would love for us to see it in Scripture. Does everybody have a Bible? Yeah, 1177. Good. Right. So it says this from verse 10. It says, finally. So Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is writing a letter to a church in Ephesus. So he's written different things about predestination, about election, and all the finished work of Christ. And then he's summing up this letter. So that's why he starts with finally. So he says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Bit of a long read, but just wanted you to see that Paul was saying, look, we cannot be ignorant, but we can also not be superstitious. we need to know what the actual picture is. So he's saying that you should put on the full armor of God. But then look at the words underlined. He said, against the rulers. He's not talking about government leaders. He's not talking. That's why he said your struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not with human beings. You're driving, somebody drives in a careless way and you're raging. He said, it's not necessarily that person. There's a system that is preying on people. So if you're spiritually minded, you will see beyond and understand the system at work. It's a system where there are rulers, where there are authorities, where there are powers and spiritual forces of evil. Sorry, it's a bit tight there. He said, but if you put on the full armor, you will be able to stand. And after you've done everything, you remain standing. Remember, this is not your armor. It's God's armor. But just if it were to be your armor, next slide, please. What will it look like? Is it going to be Stormtrooper? Or Neo from Matrix? Or Black Widow from the Avengers? Or even better than that, what was in Paul's mind when he was talking about this? What was it like? The Roman soldier. But let's just have a play with this. If you were to design your armor, which area would you protect the most? Sonia says, heart. Okay, heart. Anybody else? Head. Because once it gets to the head, head. Any part of the body else? You know, heart, head. Feet. So what would you put around your feet if you were to design your armor? Strong boots. Helmet for the head. Yeah. You have a shield. Okay. Anything else? Are you just going to protect? Sorry? Okay. So are you just going to defend yourself? Would you have anything to... Would you use a sword in the 21st century? Either... Bombs. Yeah. So in Paul's day will be the sword. Yeah. If we have a look at the next slide, please. That was what he was thinking of. Because at the time, the Roman Empire was the power, was the superpower. And the Roman soldiers were deadly. They were deadly. You know, they trained hard. You know, they were... I mean, I was just wondering, how did they even carry all this? Apparently, every day... Part of their training was that they would walk for at least 30 kilometers. And on their back, they are carrying their tech camping equipment and everything. You know, I mean, if you were to do 10,000 steps with them, you'd be doing very well with your Fitbit, with the Roman soldiers. But they were fit. And all that was designed to protect and to defend them, which Paul mentioned. So Paul's ready example was the Roman soldier because they were the superpower of his day. So he talked about the sword. He talked about the shield of, but he now used spiritual language. So he wasn't just talking about the Roman shield. He said the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. He mentions six there, but the seventh we often overlook. He said, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all manner of prayer. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Every single time, pray without ceasing. Because that's a weapon as well. Yes, belt of truth. So, let's quickly have a look. To put everything together, you need your belt. Otherwise, it's just going to all fall apart. So, he said, stand firm with the belt of truth girded around your waist. You need truth. The truth of God. Because Satan's weapon against everyone is what? Deception. Lies. Trying to paint a picture of who you are when that's not who you are. He came to Adam and Eve and he said, did God really say? So he wasn't discarding the truth. He was just twisting it, perverting it. He said, did God really say that? That's true. He didn't really say that. So we need truth every time because truth holds everything together. Now, breastplate obviously protects your what? Your heart. But it's a breastplate of what? Righteousness. Why? Because he brings condemnation all the time. Remember what you did yesterday? Oh, you can never be better. So he tries to slam you. Remember one of the names he's called the Satan. Now, the idea of the Satan is somebody who comes into court and says, he's guilty, she's guilty. Accusation, slander. He's an adversary. So he comes and says, my Lord, you might say this is your child, but I know what she was thinking yesterday. Points of accusation. So you need the sense of righteousness that God has accepted you, that you are God's child. You need the knowledge that God always loves you and nothing can separate you from the love of God, that God has brought you into a right relationship with himself. You need that mindset to protect your heart. Next one, he says, the helmet of salvation. I like what you said, protect the head. What happens in our heads? Thoughts. Our mind. But this salvation is when it comes to make you feel like nothing has changed in your life. Oh, you call yourself a Christian and you're still doing that. So he attacks your thoughts. So he says, protect yourself. Know that you've been saved by grace. Through faith. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. God saved you, not by any works that you have done. That should be your confidence. The boots of peace. Again, feet. The truth is you can't walk if you do not know that you are at peace with God. It's a confidence it gives you when you know that you are one with God. You are at peace with him. So you can stand. Say, no, I'm at peace with God. Romans 5 tells us that. He says, haven't been justified by faith. Now we are at peace with God. How many have I done? shield of faith. Now, the Roman shield used to be very big. So it's not like one nice, paint, not like Captain America's shield, like proper long shield. And what they used to do was coat it with tar so that anytime enemies fired flaming arrows, it will stick to the tar and quench the fire so that the arrow doesn't get to you. And when they wanted to move, they come together, put their shields in front, put their shields on top, and they move like that. So the way you're firing from every angle, they're protected. So your faith, your trust in God, quenches the flaming arrows of the enemy. So I've done all six. Oh, sword of the Spirit. Now, you notice that out of everything he's mentioned, this is the only offensive weapon you have. So the enemy is coming through. No, I don't want that. This is what God says, like Jesus did in the desert, in the wilderness. He says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Let's really see if you are a son. He says, it is written, the sword. Man shall not live by bread alone. Like Zorro, leave a Z on him. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And comes again, shows him the kingdoms. And says, I'll give you all this if you worship me. He said, You shall worship the Lord your God. And he comes again. Jump off this cliff. He will give his, now quoting scripture as well, he will give his angels charge over you, Psalm 91. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Be gone, Satan. And the Bible says he left him for another opportune time. That's what the day of evil means. It's an opportune time. He says he comes like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know what? You know how lions strike? They just don't rush into like a bunch of antelopes and like, which one do I go for? No. They've got their eyes on the one. Because they know they don't have too much speed. So they want to maximize their run. So they come, crouch, and get so close. And the unsuspecting antelope is still busy chatting. And then they come, whoom, and they grab by the jugular, and they don't let go until. Now, there are some that have managed to escape, but in most cases, they don't let go. So the enemy knows he cannot match the armor, but looking for an opportune time. That's why it says, when you recognize thoughts that are coming to you, you know by truth, this is not what God says about me. It's a lie. Even if it happened, God said he's forgiven me. So this is not from God. You learn to discern because it all happens in your thought realm. That's why they say the battlefield is the mind. And it says pray on every occasion. Pray. Some people say, pray again. Yes, prayer again. Prayer helps us to discern, but it also helps us to be effective. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person makes power available. Okay. So we said a lot about the armor. You see the need why we need to have it on. Because Paul never said put off. He said put on, end off. What does it mean to put on? This should be your mindset. This should be your consciousness. You also notice Paul never said And after you've done everything, retreat. He said, stand. In other words, you ain't moving from this spot. There's a resilience that comes with warfare. There's nothing protecting your back. If you notice, look at the armor. So you can afford to turn. He said, stand. Stand. This is all just a metaphor for you to know how to know when the enemy is prowling. Yes, Charles. Speaking the truth. Yeah, yeah. It's all about your Christian conduct, really. Okay. We're going to listen to a song. And after the song, we'll do something together before the kids come up. Good song, yeah? Interestingly, Lisa did not know I chose the song. And on Friday, she said, I've just been having this song in my head all week. Now, it's an interesting song because there are parts of it that are like, okay, I'm a Porsche with no brakes. Where does that lead me? But the mentality is, I put my armor on, and then I'm unstoppable. God has given us everything we need for life. Everything. You don't need to fight in your own strength. Because the reality is there's a fight. But with his armor, you're more than a conqueror. You have victory in Christ. Have victory in Christ. I'm going to read something before we pray. This is from Romans chapter 13, page 1140, if you want to follow. Page 1140, Romans chapter 13, from verse 11. Romans 13 from verse 11. And it says this, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on what? The armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with Jesus. That's what the armor is. It's a person. It's a mindset of Jesus. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is your righteousness. Jesus is your truth. Jesus is your peace. Jesus is your salvation. He's your sword. When you know that you are in Christ, you will stand. Remind yourself all the time, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm in Christ. He's your armor. I just wanted to spend a few moments reflecting. What are those areas where the enemy always wants to come in? What equipment do we need? What do we need to be more aware of? How can we stand against those areas where we feel weak or susceptible or vulnerable? to the enemy. I want us looking at the armor. You can use this, the text of the armor, and just say, where do I really need help from God? I don't want to be prey anymore. Let's just spend a few moments doing that.